It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Huttle. After these few words from Fibber and Molly, we'll be right into today's story.
McGee, look what I fished out of the attic today. Published in 1899.
Oh, for the love of Mike. Book on how to raise children.
Yeah.
Where did we get this? Don't tell me they were writing books about that away back then.
Seems they were. And see here under the title, someone scribbled, Feed 'em, Love 'em, Learn 'em.
Feed 'em, Love 'em, Learn 'em.
Isn't that cute?
Makes pretty good sense even today. First two don't take any more trouble than they used to, and with a prudential education plan in the family cookie jar, seeing the youngsters through school is a whole lot easier, too.
Prudential education plan. Maybe that's a long name, folks, but believe me, it's the shortest, safest way for each one of you mothers and fathers to guarantee money for your children's education. Even if Dad isn't here when the time comes for them to go away to school, you can be sure that the money will be there to pay for college expenses.
Yep, and the best time to prepare for that great cap and gown day is right now. You pay for this plan little by little over the years.
Why don't you get in touch with your Prudential agent? Let him tell you about a Prudential education plan. The easy way to make sure your children will have that all-important college education.
Mr. and Mrs. McGee were informed yesterday that Uncle Lucky McGee's kid, Jerry, was going to stop overnight with them tonight. So, here they are now, making last-minute preparations to entertain their guest.
So I stopped in Kramer's drugstore, Molly, and look what I picked up for Jerry. A little gift.
What is it?
Now, let me show you. Brand new type of safety razor. It's called the Nevernick. Want me to lather up and show you how it works?
Well, ordinarily, I'd be fascinated at the prospect of watching you shave, McGee, but I haven't time now.
Oh?
I'm just going up to straighten up the guest room.
Well, here, I'll just explain it to you then. You see, a face is either concave or convex.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
Now, for thousands of years, razors have all been made straight, but this razor is concave on one side and convex on the other, see?
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Be fine for two-faced people, although the ones I have in mind don't shave. Not that she shouldn't, you understand. She just doesn't.
I figure a young fellow Jerry's age, you know, hasn't been shaving very long. In fact, all of us McGee's have had tender skins, except, of course, Uncle Sycamore. He had a complexion on him like a well-aged alligator purse.
How'd he get that way?
Oh, from the years he worked in the New Mexico desert. He was a lifeguard at Mirage Lake.
Mirage Lake?
Yeah. This mirage looked so real, you know, like a real lake, that people kept throwing themselves into it, and Uncle Sycamore would have to go drag him ashore to keep him from drowning. What you stopping here in the hall for?
For you to open the guest room door for me. I hate to make such an unusual request, but with these pillows in my arms...
Oh, that's okay. Don't apologize. I'll put this new razor on the dresser in here for Jerry. Hey.
Hmm?
Boy, we'll sure have to get busy and do something about this room before he gets here, won't we?
Why, what do you mean? It's the prettiest room in the house.
Pretty is right, but gee whiz, it don't look much like a masculine, clean-cut, all-American boy's room like Jerry McGee is, does it?
Well, it's my guest room. I can't refurnish it to suit the mood of whoever happens to spend the night in it. Not on my little budget.
I know, but my gosh, all these flowered pillows and frilly pleats and fancy pincushions and stuff. And hey, where's my old moose head that hung over the bed there when Uncle Dennis lived here with us?
Don't you remember? It disappeared one day.
Oh, yeah, but after Uncle Dennis left, I recognized it downtown in the window of Swifty's Pledge and Redeem Parlor. Oh, yeah. Cost me $4 to get it out of Hawk.
Wasted money.
So, how come we never put it back where it belongs?
I did put it where it belongs. In the storeroom with its ugly face to the wall.
Well, I'll just go get that baby and put
where
it right...
Where are you going?
I'm going down to get my favorite trophy and put it back in its place of honor. And furthermore, I'm going to dress that room up a little. Hang some fishing calendars. Put my pipe rack in there. See if I can find a picture of Marilyn Monroe someplace and...
Grocery boy!
Just set him down in there and come help me with something, will you, old-timer?
Okay, I'm game. What's the project, Johnny? Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Very definitely animal. Now, let me find the light. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Looks like a moose with his head turned to the wall. He done something bad, Johnny?
No. Just ashamed to face us ever since Uncle Dennis took him downtown and hawked him for $4. Here, help me turn him around. Turn around.
There. Hi. Oh, let's turn him back to the wall, Johnny. This is the meanest-looking moose puss I ever did see.
Never mind the small talk. Help me upstairs with it. I'm going to hang this trophy back on the guest room wall and show it to my cousin Jerry.
What's it stuffed with? Cement?
Careful, you don't knock the horns off. This is a real fine trophy, this moosehead is. No. I got this baby with a bow and arrow.
You got this mass of moose with a bow and arrow?
Yep.
I don't believe it. I wouldn't believe it if you swore it on a bale of Bibles and the moose signed an affidavit to it.
What wouldn't you believe, Mr. Oldtimer?
Oh, hello there, daughter. I don't believe Johnny here got that moose with a bow and arrow. That's what.
Oddly enough, it's true.
Huh?
You can take my word for it.
There, you'll believe her, won't you? That settles it. Subject closed. Now we gotta hurry if we're gonna be ready when Doc Gamble picks us up to meet Jerry at the railroad station.
The way McGee got that moose with a bow and arrow, Mr. Oldtimer, was at the county fair. He hit the most balloons, and the moose head was first prize.
There's more fun with the McGees shortly.
What have Viceroy's got that other filter-tip cigarettes haven't got?
What have Viceroy's got that other filter-tip cigarettes haven't got?
What have Viceroy's got that other filter-tip cigarettes haven't got?
Yes, what have Viceroy's got? The answer is 20,000 tiny filters in every Viceroy tip. That's right. Inside every Viceroy tip is a vast network of 20,000 individual filters to filter your smoke over and over again. You get only the full, rich taste of Viceroy's choice tobaccos. And Viceroy's draw freely, smoothly. So the next time you hear this question,
what have Viceroy's got that other filter tip cigarettes haven't got?
You know the answer. 20,000 tiny filters in every Viceroy tip. No wonder more people smoke Viceroy's than any other filter tip cigarette in the world. Get Viceroy's today. King size filter tip. Only a penny or two more than cigarettes without filters.
That clock says.
Trains do at 4:10, so just relax, McGee.
Okay.
Dr. Gamble said he'd get you here before the train did, and he did, didn't he?
And without turning on my emergency siren, like you kept yelling for me to do, too.
Well, I thought you could use a little advertising coming through 14th and Oak, Doc. You should learn how to blow your own horn, Docky.
If you mean for me to lean on my emergency police siren while I have you in the car.
Why, sure. Then the next day they see me walking around hale and hearty. They think you snatched me from the grave, you see.
And you think that'd make me popular in this town?
What else?
Oh, you dreamer, you.
Huh?
If the word got around town that I saved your life, an aroused citizenry would run me out of town so fast.
Oh, is that so, you big ox doctor? Well, for your big fat information, there's plenty of people in this town that's interested in my health and welfare.
Name one.
Me. And hush, the both of you. A train just pulled in at that gate over there. At least people are coming out.
Well, come on. Let's get over there.
No, that's what I say. Come on.
Well, I hate to bring it up at this late date, but how are we going to recognize this cousin of yours, McGee?
Cousin Jerry? That's as easy as frisking a seal. He's a McGee, isn't he? So he'll look like a McGee.
Stupid, you mean?
Never mind the funny sands, Wide Bottom. Just keep looking in that direction while I look this way, and hey, that looks like that might be him.
Where? Which one?
Big, broad-shouldered, kind of handsome guy with a confused look. Coming this way, I bet that's him. I'll head him off.
Well, a confused look is a McGee trait, all right.
Oh, hi, Cousin Jerry. I knew you in a minute, boy. Put her there, cuz.
What's the is that Gorgon Schnarr? Nyet. That's Americana Schiflogen ahead of Block de God.
Ain't him.
That's what I thought he said.
I don't like to be an old wet blanket, McGee, but it doesn't look like your boy came in on that train.
Doggone it, he's got to be on that train, Doc. We got everything all set for him.
I've got a roast in the oven.
I got the guest room all redecorated. I got him dates for tonight with two very pretty girls. He's supposed to jump center for the basketball team. Just the first quarter before he picks up his dates. And before we eat dinner, I got him set for a tennis match. And all day tomorrow he's going to...
Wait, Scott, maybe the kid got wind of the schedule you planned for him and dropped off the train at Slow Rapids. Or say, maybe he passed us and is out on the sidewalk somewhere. Are you sure you know what the boy looks like?
Well, I don't know, Doctor. McGee has a picture of him, but I don't know whether he'd recognize the lad out of his high chair or not. The snapshot is 21 years old.
I'll recognize him. Just keep watching. Gee whiz.
I think you're stood up. Looks like somebody else was left waiting at the gate, too, Molly.
Where? Oh, see? The girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed her standing around. Can we help you in any way, miss?
Well, I don't know. I was supposed to meet a Mr. McGee here at the train.
Well, get in line, sis. So are we.
Yes, we've been looking for him, but so far...
You're supposed to meet him, too, huh? Here?
Yes. I thought I'd find him.
And don't you know him when you see him either?
No. All I know about him is that he's married, and you see...
Married? My gosh, I never knew about that.
Heavenly days. And you've got dates for him tonight, McGee.
Oh, fine.
Why, that son of a gun. Nobody told me he was married. Well, when did you find out about it, sis?
Well, I... You mean about his being married?
Why, that son of a gun. Married, eh?
Look, maybe I can help you.
Do you mean to tell me that that fella has you down here to meet him and him with a wife? Oh. Have you been corresponding with him, dear, and just found out, or what?
Oh, no. I'm afraid I'm confused here.
Let me get in on this. Maybe I can help to clear up
No wonder he didn't show up. Afraid to face the music. Married, eh? Why, that son of a gun.
Hey, wait a minute. When did you hear about this young cousin of yours coming?
Yesterday morning. A telegram came.
It was read to us over the phone.
And when did you last see this cousin, aside from the picture in the high chair?
Well, I can't recall that I ever did. But he's Uncle Lucky's boy.
Uncle Lucky's boy? Uncle Lucky hasn't any boy.
Huh? Are you trying to tell me that my Uncle Lucky McGee ain't got a boy named Jerry? I'm Uncle Lucky's nephew, Fibber, and I ought to know.
Well, I'm your Uncle Lucky's daughter, Geraldine.
What?
And I ought to know.
What? Whoa. Geraldine? Jerry? Jerry.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Well, come on, Geraldine. Let's go home.
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment.
When you put away your toothbrush tomorrow morning, will you try a little experiment? Reach into your medicine chest for that familiar bottle of murine and put 2 drops of murine in each eye. Instantly, your sleepy, heavy-lidded eyes will feel wide awake and eager to greet the day. So why not make this refreshing murine bath for your eyes a daily practice? Do it when you brush your teeth every morning and again just before bedtime. Matter of fact, you can use murine as often every day as you wish. That's because murine bathes and soothes the delicate tissues of the eyes as gently as a tear. You see, murine is compounded of 7 tested ingredients scientifically selected and combined to blend perfectly with the natural fluids of the eyes. Murine makes your eyes feel good, and its daily use helps promote a clean, healthful condition. That's M-U-R-I-N-E. Murine. For your eyes.
Just set her bags there in the hall, Doc. I'll take them upstairs later.
There they are.
Right now, I got some phone calls to make.
Oh, that you have indeed. All over town.
Gee, I hope I'm not being a lot of trouble to you.
Oh, not a bit, Jerry.
Any trouble he has, Jerry, he brought on himself.
Yeah, as the girl basketball player said when she fell and grabbed her teammate's uniform, girls, I pulled a bloomer. I'll get one laugh out of this anyhow. Yes. Hand me the phone, Molly. Thanks. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed, with Bill Thompson as the old-timer, Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble, and Gloria McMillan as Cousin Jerry. Be with us again tomorrow night when Mr. McGee finally gets things squared away for Cousin Jerry. He thinks. This is John Wall saying goodnight. Join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.